Money podcast from The Guardian, in association with Nationwide Mortgages. Nationwide, proud to be a building society.
Hello and welcome to the third in our Money Guide series, in which we provide a bit of down-to-earth practical help with your personal finances. Today, in honour of what is often a, shall we say, financially challenging time of year, we're looking at ways of making the pounds or pennies in our pockets go further. If you've got recession blues, we've got some good ideas to help you beat the credit crunch. First, let's hear from people in Market Square in Cambridge about how they're coping with the downturn.
You begin to look at the price of each product you buy. Whereas, you know, if you are not in that economic situation, you normally don't.
I've got two kids to support, bills. It's definitely everywhere you go. Got friends, got good trades and jobs, can't get jobs. Credit crunch hit everyone, I think.
We're probably getting all the bargains now. We're looking for the yellow stickers and the red stickers and not going for the main prize things and looking for sale stickers up. Yeah, definitely. We're going to enjoy ourselves, but probably cut down, not go out as much. Perhaps spend it at home a bit more.
If you're spending loads of money, you still want to save because you don't know what's going to happen in the future, because the financial crisis might get a lot worse. I used to see something I want and then I used to buy it, but I don't anymore.
Shopping got cut down. Just looking for buy one, get one free. Holidays, I haven't really been on holiday for 2-3 years, so as long as I look after my kids, that's the main thing.
We're not really going abroad either, are we?
No, no, we're not. We're off to Yarmouth next weekend in a caravan on the edge of a cliff, but we'll be fine.
Things will settle eventually, one way or another. Things will find a level peg and continue. It's just a matter of just keep gritting your teeth and bearing with it until it does just level out, because it will eventually.
Some cautiously optimistic words from a resolute young man doing his bit by shopping for his country. Well, listening to that, and with me, we've got two brave consumer champions who are equally resolute when it comes to getting the very best deal possible. Mark Lockley is the author of How to Pay Less for More. You may also know Mark by his alias, as well as his day job. He writes on the Guardian Money site as The Negotiator. With Mark is Huma Qureshi, who has no secret identity that we know of, being perfectly happy in her role as a reporter for the Guardian's Money site, where she writes regularly on consumer issues. First, let's start with you, Mark. What are some of the reasons, do you think, that we do spend more than we need to? It has to be psychological more than anything else, or is it just negligence on our part?
I think part of it is what you're saying there about the negligence. I call it buyer apathy. The good news is, because of the recession, one of the good things to come out of this is the fact is our people are being more cautious, and that was being said by the listeners earlier. What you need to do is very much look at what you're spending and what you're paying for and trying to look for a better price that's out there.
What about you, Huma? Do you think that because we want to feel good, it's very tempting to go and buy something and think about the consequences later? Or are we doing, as what was said in the little report we had, we are going for the yellow and red labels more and more, the bargain labels?
Well, I do think that now, as a result of the credit crunch and the recession, that people are, in general, a lot more careful than we were. But that's not to say that you still don't want to treat yourself. And I think we're all guilty of using our debit card or our MasterCard, and it doesn't really feel like money because it's just a card. And you can just justify it in some way and look at your bank account later and deal with it later. And I think that's one of the reasons why, at the end of the month, you just don't realise that actually you've gone into your overdraft, because you've got so many outgoings already, like your mortgage and your insurance and your phone bills, that if you make an odd treat purchase there, here and there as well, it might just tip you down. And I think that overspending is something that we're all guilty of to varying degrees.
Now, Mark, you're otherwise known as the negotiator, and I know negotiation for you is really important when it comes to some of the things that Huma just outlined, like your basic bills. You can really hone them down if you know what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, as Huma says, it's about being more cautious about what you spend during the month. One of the important factors, especially if you're in a sort of difficult situation financially, is to look at all your monthly bills, all the, you know, things like the landline, your mobile phone, your home insurance, your car insurance, and then look at where you're out of contract. And quite often, you've actually haven't realised you are out of contract. So therefore, you're at perfect rights to go and look at the market and see what's going on.
Do you practice what you preach? Are there savings that you've managed to make? Give us an example.
Absolutely. From anything from home insurance, where, you know, initially I was paying £350, £400, and that had been negotiated down the previous year, This time I got it for 290. It's merely about looking at the market, researching the competitors, speaking to them, saying, look, you could have my business. Is that something of interest to you? Get a price from them, and then equally go back to your original people and say to them, look at the fantastic deals I'm getting out there.
Huma, I know when it comes to fashion, going out, eating out, not to make out that you're a complete hedonist, but you have got some, well, maybe you are, and we need a few of those, but you've got some ideas in terms of how you can still enjoy yourself without constantly looking over your shoulder and seeing how much you're spending. What are the ways of enjoying yourself on a tight budget then?
I think there's definite ways that you can do it. It takes some creativity as well as just looking around and keeping an eye out for good deals. When it comes to things like clothes, there's no reason why you have to instantly go to Primark to get the cheapest clothes, because they're not always going to last from there. There are some great outlets where you can get really good labels for less. Don't be too snobby and avoid places like TK Maxx, because you'll find some really great brands in there. Chloe dresses and handbags are things that I've actually found myself in there and been surprised to find. So you never know. And also there's some really great boutiques online. The good thing to do is to maybe set up a separate email address and then log on to various websites and sign up for sales and flash sales, early morning sales on different websites which do designer deals and discounts. Mm. And there you can make some really great savings. So
you do the same kind of thing as well, Mark?
I do, absolutely. And again, something that Huma said there was about TK Maxx. We recently did something on skiing. And obviously people, when they go skiing, often love to buy the latest jackets, and they can be very, very costly. Again, go to somewhere like TK Maxx rather than your typical specialist stores and get a cracking deal.
There's also this whole new wave of vintage coming back into fashion and all of this. And one thing that's always good fun to do is, if you've got a friend and you always quite envy her clothes, is host a clothes swap. It's something that loads of girls are doing across the country. It was quite nice to know that they're still going to get worn and not just have to throw them away.
One of the other things I know that you are experienced in is that the hiring market, i.e. hiring a handbag or hiring a dress for a special occasion, rather than buying. I mean, let's face it, who can afford a designer handbag that's £9,000, £10,000?
Yeah.
Unless you're a money babe or something, or got a trust fund.
Or a wag.
Or a wag. So there are ways around that if you really wanted to go to a do and have a Chanel bag.
If it does really matter to you, there's so many websites where you can source this sort of thing, be it designer handbags like you've already mentioned, but also jewellery. And there are some really specialist top-end jewels that are for rent for those big one-off occasions where you want to feel special and you want to wear something that's special, but you can't afford £10,000 for a pair of earrings. Mm. So you can have them for £50-30 instead for one night,
and no one will ever know.
Just try not to lose them.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things, of course, that occurs to me, and I think it's great to be positive about this even though times are tough for some people, the idea of buying clothes will be out of their league simply because it's just about survival on the breadline. In that situation, maybe you are a single parent, you're on benefits, you're struggling to feed your kids. It's very difficult when you maybe listen to this and thinking, well, you know, there's no way I can borrow clothes. I've got enough already and I need more clothes for my kids. Where would you begin in that kind of scenario?
I mean, I think that's the level that it is very tough. However, there are ways around it. As we said earlier about looking at each individual bill to actually bring those costs down. The other thing is things like FreeCycle. FreeCycle is a local group where you can get onto the net and people give stuff away rather than eBay where you pay for it. You just check out that and maybe there's some stuff free there. You know, there is second-hand items, there are second-hand clothes. And, you know, once it's washed, who ultimately will know?
Is there any stigma, do you think, Huma, to being a savvy spender? Or is it actually more, I don't know, distasteful to be flashing your cash? Is actually being savvy quite cool now?
I think it is. I think there was a time where maybe you didn't want to be seen as being a cheapskate or someone who took your time in finding things or bought everything online or used vouchers and so on. But I think now there's more of an acceptability that everyone is, to a certain extent, doing that. I think the nicest part, well, if you can call it a nice part of the recession, is that in a way you can just take things down a notch and scale it back to what you really need and just realise that actually you don't need to spend all that much money on the frivolous stuff. Or if you do, there are ways of doing it without throwing thousands of pounds, and that notion of just spending a little less, more time with people.
That's something we were speaking about earlier that Huma mentioned about friends. You see a lot these days, buy one, get one free, or buy one, get three, and people are a little bit frustrated because what they do is they haven't got the storage for it, but they buy it, and therefore they spend too much. Well, go with a friend. Now, when you go into a supermarket and there's 2-for-1 deals, then go with somebody else and you can both take advantage of it and get a much better grocery bill at the end of the day.
This comes up more and more, the idea of really connecting with other people in tough times. So not only is there a financial payoff, but there's also an emotional payoff as well. You get to know people better, maybe you trust them a bit more, you've got more interaction, which ultimately is a healthy thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we've spoken previously with The Guardian on buying clubs. So getting people together as a forum to actually create buying power. So 10, 15, 20 people wanting to buy a particular item. Yes, you're absolutely right. It has a social forum to it and also gives you incredible buying power. Walk into a store with £50 to spend, you may not get much attention. You walk in with £1,000 to spend, someone's going to pay attention.
Different story. The interviews that we heard a moment ago as well, someone was saying that they went on their holiday, or their holiday is going to be to Great Yarmouth in a caravan about to fall off a cliff. Holidays, big purchases, building work on your home. What about cutting costs there as well? I mean, holidays seem to be a bit of a luxury at the minute, don't they?
Well, they don't have to be. That's the thing. I mean, what I often talk about is luxury, but with affordability. You know, we as consumers are suffering at the moment. However, so are shops. You know, you sit there and you see government trying to persuade you to spend more and to get the economy growing. Well, this is one of the opportunities. And what you can do, say, for example, on holidays and hotels, is actually ask for money off. You see a price, you automatically see it in print, say £80 per night. You assume it's got to be. Well, what's made it £80 per night? Would that person rather you call an offer £50 a night than have an empty room? Most of the cases, it would be yes.
Sometimes you just need to overcome that shyness of picking up the phone and actually asking, because it's not a very British thing to do necessarily. And it can feel a little bit, well, a bit rude to say, well, actually, I don't want to pay that much. I know I've had problems with that, even just getting my car insurance. You just feel like you almost feel like you don't have the right to ask for a cheaper price, but you ask nicely and you never know, so.
And I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, I've looked at this, and the fact is there's that embarrassment factor. You know, they sit here and they think, oh, I can't do that. Now, that's because they think of it as haggling. Haggling, to me, is that seat of the pants, go on, give me a tenner off. Well, what's the justification? Why should you? Have you realised why you should get £10 off? What I talk about is negotiating. It comes from the business world where, you know, you wouldn't imagine Richard Branson winging it by haggling.
It's worth putting in the time. That's the other thing I think that puts people off, is spending that amount of time on the websites and trying to get the best price. You have to do it. Even when you're doing a car insurance, there's so many questions you have to go through, but it is worth it.
I think it's a very good point, because what I say is look at it as an hourly bill. If you're going to be saving, say, for example, a hire purchase, £4,000 on a brand new car, which with a family car is feasible. So if you're going to save £4,000, 2 hours preparation, you know, £2,000 an hour, that's something Paul McCartney would be happy to get. So spending an hour or two saving that would be, you know, well worthwhile. Mm.
Giving up smoking?
Yeah. Just say no, as they say.
I'm in the early days of that. Got more pennies in my purse, but we shall see. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's Mark Lockley and Huma Qureshi. Now, if you'd like to hear some more thoroughly intelligent insight and inescapably practical tips, then listen to the other podcasts in the Money Guide series. Covering a range of topics from mortgages to house prices, they could help soothe a few financial headaches. For now, though, I'll leave you in peace to plan your negotiating tactics. Good luck. I'm Claire Catford. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide Mortgages. Nationwide. Proud to be a building society.